So just to recap a little bit about the question that Achronim struggle with, of how do you put all the steps together without having a difficult-to-accept conclusion? The steps being as follows. We potter Shein Brishus HaRabim. That is based on a pasuk. The pasuk regarding Shein says Uvir b'steacher. But the Rush sounds like there's more to it. The Rush, quoting the Rif, sounds like it's not just about the pasuk, but there is also the fact that there's a logic to it. That it has to do with that this is the normal path of the animal and the normal behavior of the animal. So who cares if it's normal behavior of the animal?
We've seen.
Right. Right, that's Orchai. But now who cares if it's normal behavior? Normal behavior sometimes gets the animal in trouble. So there's two key parts here. It's normal, and you're allowed to have animals with Shusarabim. So those two together create the Ptur. Because if you're allowed to have the animal with Shusarabim, then you have to assume that we're okay with what it does normally. Like you couldn't say, for example, if I tell you you can't bring pets into my house, and then you bring a dog into my house anyway, and it relieves itself on my couch, and then you say, well, what do you expect, the dog? So I say, well, I expected you not to bring the dog into my house. That's what I said, no dogs. And so you need those two parts together, that once you allow the animal into the area, so then that which is normal and expected and unpreventable has to be okay. Right? If you want to add another step to it, right? If you recall, if we assume that the chiyuv of nezikin is tied in to your failure to watch, so if you couldn't possibly watch against this, it's too unavoidable, so then you don't have a basis for a chiyuv. So all that is very well and good. The problem is, how does that mix with dangerous animals? Because the Mishnah towards the end of the parak says that dangerous animals are considered mu'ad right away. And some of the Rishonim understand that just because we call it mu'ad doesn't mean that that's keren. Keren, which has that process of being first tam and then mu'ad. So you think mu'ad is always keren? Not necessarily. These animals, they're acting normally. And keren is acting abnormally. So therefore, they are treated as shame. Mori.
Doesn't mess us up if we... isn't the precedent for that what we saw from the Tavarsky? Understanding that mu'ad
is specifically, it's to explain views like that. That Karen is by definition Mishunah.
So we're holding that.
Right, so that's how these Rishonim are working off of. Right, this is something that we've seen in many places, and we mentioned, I think, a while ago already, where Soloveitchik had a whole discussion about this that you can see in a Bereichman Sefer. Right, the assumption that at least these Rishonim are working off that in order to be Karen, it has to be Mishunah. So if it's not Mishunah, so then it's not Karen. It's a hard position to hold to all the time, you'll see, because I think some of the explanations are going to still force you into a corner here. But, which Karen might mean corner, depending on how, we discussed that, we learned Sanhedrin, right? The question of what do the Yoshve Kronos mean. So, some of the definitions are still going to be problematic to really work out 100% if you think them through. But essentially, if you want to say that, okay, so the animal is now labeled as Shein, so you're going to tell me that your lion is a Ptur Rishus HaRabim, you bring your lion into Rishus HaRabim, it's Pater, and according to the Rosh, that Ptur is based on Rishus, so there's Rishus here, you're allowed to do that? hard to believe. So that was the question, essentially. And Yamshel Shlomo brought this up, and in later Svarim also, in particular, this is something that's struggled with. So, question everybody is clear on. Any issue? Okay, so what approaches can you take? So one approach is what it says in the Pesachei Choshen, that we must be talking about a trained animal, which the Mishnah mentions, Beit Tarbus. So if they are Bnei Tarbus, they're not Muadim. So what does that mean, they're not Muadim? So apparently you're allowed to bring them into the public. But you have to then deal with a paradox. See, not everyone makes this suggestion. This is, as far as I can tell, this is really Rav Bloy's suggestion. He quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, but the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't say this, as we'll discuss in a second. So, within this suggestion, you have kind of a paradox. Because on the one hand, it's trained. That's enough to allow you to bring it into the public. But it's still considered to be kedargo if it does attack you, because the training doesn't change its nature. Nature is still there, it's just trained not to do it. So there's still a difference between a cow and a trained lion. A cow is not a dangerous animal, and a lion is a dangerous animal that is trained. So it's a very careful balance. But then he goes on to say, a significant chiddush also, that what if it wasn't trained then? And so what if you have a lion, a wild lion, in Rishos HaRabim? So the wild lion, he says, maybe Taka, you'd be chayiv for that.
But if it's a trained...
If it's not trained, if it's wild. But we don't talk about that case, not just because of the... we're scared of it, but we don't talk about that case because it's not so common to have lions, wild lions versus a rabbit. And if there are going to be wild lions, it's not so likely that they have owners. So we're trying to figure out how to be mechayev the owner. It's not so likely we have a scenario to talk about. What if you did? Sounds like if you did, that there would be a chiyuv for that. That's what he's assuming. So where would the chiyuv come from is a good question. So it sounds like it's Karen. Now, why is it Karen? Again, that's part of what I was saying about it's hard to make all the parts match, because then you still have to deal with the fact that it's not Mishuna. Now, it prompts the question of what is Mishuna from what? You know, that maybe the idea of somebody actually having a lion in the public place that is wild, it's Mishuna to have such a situation, to have all those parts together, but the lion is acting al pi its teva. So that's part of what it's saying about forcing you into a corner. I think it doesn't satisfy all the parts. So the approach that you have in other Svarim, got it.
Well, couldn't you make an argument from the fellow Farsi's piece where he talks at one point of the Rambam calls Nachash Karen, because female has, like, even though we call it Muad, whatever, I forget the exact
word. Muad Mitchilasa?
What?
Muad Mitchilasa?
Right. Regardless of that, it's still a mazik, which is what Karen would be, so if it's not trained.
Still a mazik of what kind? You're still
No, he just said, like...
I mean, like I said, it's a mazik as opposed to Mamono Shehizik.
Right, well, there's
a
difference
right.
between Karen and Shane Regal.
So it's an active
mazik. Shane Regal is just kind of something that happens.
It's doing a Maisa Hezek.
Right. So maybe you can make an argument saying
that. That defines Karen. Right. Yeah, it could be. I mean, we'd have to force the definition into a more specific boundary, but it could be. So others seem to say that in a chanami, you are a putter for you're lying in Rishos Harav. As strange as that sounds. So why should that be? So the way the Aruch HaShulchan just says it, did you get a chance to see the Aruch HaShulchan by now? So Aruch HaShulchan has a language that Lo Chilka Kasev, I believe, is his language, that the Torah doesn't draw distinctions in the Pasuk. But, he says, we will still compel people not to do this. That essentially he's reflecting what you often find, especially in Chosh and Mishpat and related areas, a two-tiered system. That we have the Daraisa law, which is somewhat more abstract, and then you have social policy, which sometimes modifies what's going on. So as a matter of the din and the Torah of the Chiyuv of Avos Nezikin, so you have to say that, yeah, this is in the category of Shein, which means Lamaisa is going to be Pater. But being that society is not going to be too safe, so we still have to have a social policy to do something about that. And that's essentially what he seems to say. Sammy?
Yeah, I saw a very similar idea that was, where was that, Reichman's, say, three-quarters of the scene, there was a case where a guy was given permission to have a beehive on the edge of town to make, like, organic honey,
mm-hmm.
whatever, that was his business, and the bees, like, stung a bunch of people. And so they said that he wasn't chayev, but they were going to compel him to make it better than chayev, the guy, or whatever, until he took it down.
Yeah, so we have to have some kind of a balance, or somewhat, not balance maybe, but some kind of modification sometimes in order to make society function. Just parenthetically, this is also already included in this whole discussion, because the case we started talking about, which I haven't really finished yet, about somebody whose dog jumps on somebody else who's yelling at him versus Sarabim, so already we have to figure out where the limits are of what we can do as a matter of policy. Because even if he is Pater, sometimes a Beis Din will say, okay, listen, on strict Torah law rules, you don't have to pay. But Lamaisa, you need to get this guy to forgive you for what happened. You need to move forward. And he's not going to forgive you unless you help him out with his bills or do something to address the situation. And he have a right to do that. And in some eras, the Beis Din would be menade, somebody would excommunicate somebody who won't go along with that. So there are other tools to address these significant social issues. So basically, it's really two approaches there, right? That maybe we could say that the wild animal really is chayiv somehow, or should be chayiv, or that he's pater because of the pasuk. So we added to that a little bit a discussion of Rav Shlomo Fisher, who first quoted Rav Leib Malin, where he said there really are two dinim. There's the din of the pasuk and the din of Orche. And they don't always apply in the same way. The din of the pasuk. There we have the pasuk that says "Bir b'steyacher," that the chiyuv of shein is specifically brishas hanizak. But the p'tur of brishas harabim is not working off of that, but it's working off a svara of orchayu. This is just normal, and they're two different dinim. So building on that, Rav Shlomo Fisher said that perhaps what's going on here is that a pasuk very often goes beyond its svar. You can have, and he brings many proofs, if you want to read this inside, by the way, he has many proofs to this point. He doesn't just say it abstractly. But,
where is it?
Where is it? Where is it? It should warn you that his style in writing is very difficult. So you would spend, if you're budgeting your time, it would take you a long time to get through it. He has a little bit of a challenging style, but fascinating for him nonetheless. I used to go a lot in Eretz Yisrael to hear him in person. It's a little easier to grasp everything when you're listening to him. But the Shirim have a very beautiful content, and the Sefer, it's a little bit written in somewhat of a challenging way. So he says there, essentially, that the nature of the Torah's instructions is very often that you have a din, and the din applies objectively. We don't assume that we understand the Svara and limit it to the Svara. That's a concept we find B'chol Torah Kula. But it doesn't mean that the Svara is irrelevant. We can figure out the Svara and then understand that the Svara should also extend to where it applies in other places. So this one pasuk could do two things for us. The pasuk of Uvir B'Steyacher, on the one hand, could make a general rule that goes beyond its Svara, that Shein is only Chayiv Bershus HaNizak, and that's going to apply across the board. And also, it's reasonable to say that that Pasuk is conveying to us a logic still, that it's because of Or Chai, and when something is happening that is Or Chai or has a similar kind of Svara to it, such as, let's say, as the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, a svara of who asked your animal to do this. Let's say that's the opposite, right? So if somebody comes to, if an animal comes into your rishos, and let's say you have a dangerous animal on your rishos, and somebody brings their animal into your rishos, and your animal damages his animal, so Shulchan Aruch says that the mazik is pater for that, according to the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the pasuk, even though it's talking about Karen. So there, the Rama asks, why is he quoting the pasuk? It's talking about Karen, the pasuk's about Shane. So that's a part of what Reb Leib Malin was addressing. That the pasuk does two things. It addresses Shane, whether or not the Svara applies. But it also tells us the Svara of Orche. So therefore, remember, like we said before, Orche is tied into Rishus, right? Because if there's no Rishus, then it doesn't matter that it's Orche. That's like the Karen situations. So because you're allowed to have your animal in the public thoroughfare, so therefore you're not liable for the damage it does that's regular. But even if it's Karen kind of damage, but it's on my property, I'm the one who owns the animal, it does damage on my property, so then the same svara will pop to me there, because who asked you to bring your animal into my property? In the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, we all have the right to be there. Okay, so I have the right to be there, you have the right to be there, that all plays a role. But you sneak your animal into my property, who asked you to do that? So if you get hurt there, then it's not my problem. So it's the svara of the pasuk that is being utilized. And that, even though it's a context of Karen. So that's where Rav Shlomo Fisher points out that you could have both. You could have the pasuk applying across the board to where it's literally referring to, and you can also learn out the principle which applies beyond the pasuk. So the pasuk's not talking about Karen, but the logic of the pasuk could still apply to Karen. And by the way, Rav Asher Weiss also makes that point, which I can give you a few sources to look at tomorrow just to see what he's talking about, that the p'tur of Orche, once we know it, is not limited to Shein. And again, you need Orche with Rishus. But when you have activity that is normal, just to give one general example, even though we say Adamu Ula'olam, right? The same Mishnah says Adamu Ula'olam. So a person is also always considered to be on guard. But still, there are circumstances when even for Adam HaMazik, if he's doing something which is totally normal in Bereshus, even Adam HaMazik is going to be Pater. So the Ptur that when you're acting normally, Bereshus, applies to all the Avos Nezikim. And that's essentially the same idea that we get that Svara from the Pasuk and apply it across the board. And again, I'll give you some sources to see inside to see where that's applied in some other places.
So we're just adding that Orche is like kind of relying upon Rishus.
Right. Yeah, it has to be relied upon Rishus, otherwise it doesn't, otherwise you get back to Karen. If you're doing something which you don't have permission to do, then it's not going to help. Because the Svara, like we said yesterday, the Svara cuts both ways. Right? That the Orche is both a reason to let you off and a reason to be Mechayev. Two opposite things. Because the crucial detail is, well, is it Bereshus or is it not Bereshus? That if it's Bereshus, so then you can't be expected to stop it, so then you're off the hook. But if somebody's so dangerous, if an animal is so dangerous, that we can't let you have Bereshus, then you're going to be chayav for that. Maury?
Could you maybe explain why, how Karen gets into it? How Karen is about?
In the case in the Shulchan Aruch? In the case, because what he's saying is that the logic of Orche tells you that when you have Orche and Bereshus, so then the Mazik is Pater. So I don't have Rishus to bring my dangerous animal into Rishus or Avid. But I theoretically have Rishus to have it in my house. Although we'll have to see just how far that goes, because you know, the Gemara does say right before the Mishnah in Tezvav and Midbeis that I'm not supposed to have a dangerous dog in my house. So we have to figure out exactly what the Hagdara is. But let's assume that there are some circumstances where I can maintain a dangerous animal relatively safely on my property. But you entered into my property without Rishus. So then, that's your problem. So the Shulchan Aruch says that and quotes the Pasuk. So the Ramah says, what are you quoting the Pasuk for? The Pasuk's about shame. So what we can see from here is, no, the Pasuk does two things. The Pasuk tells us rules about chain and also a Svara. And that Svara, once we know it, that applies to all the Avos Nezikim, and including Karen, and including other examples. Hi.
Does this also kind of fit in with what Rashi was saying yesterday, that chain in and of itself is a reason to be have someone's rather just
Yeah, not only does it fit in, but that's the point I was just making, that he mentions it in that context. That once he says that once we have the general machayiv of Nezikin, so these details can be transferred back and forth, right? So that's in the same breath, essentially, that he says that Orche applies back to all of that.
That's kind of what the Rebbe is saying. The
Rambam? Okay, which part with that?
What are you saying that with the machlokas Rambam Tosfos?
I mean, whether the Machayev of Karen is the Mishnah, or is
Is that once you take, I forget whatever it was, why that Mishnah can be applied to
That the policy of Mishnah as a Ptur quite applies to other things. Okay, so with that, so we only have a few minutes left, so I guess we will continue this point into tomorrow, but let's just try to get it on the table. We do have a few minutes, but everyone's clear so far on what we were saying? Make sense? Any further questions? Can I clarify anything else? Okay, so what about Mishasa? So if somebody provokes a dog to attack someone else intentionally, what's the story there? Chayiv, Pater? What's the din? Who's Pater? Okay, is he the only person who's on the chopping block here?
No.
Okay, so first we have to clarify that there are two people who are potentially part of the story. Let's say you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuven tries to get Shimon's dog to bite Levi. So is Reuven chayev and is Shimon chayev? So we have to look at each one separately. So is Reuven chayev? Reuven is the one who provoked someone else's dog. So okay, so it seems like he is patur. Now again, to go back to our whole dual-tiered system here, he's patur b'dinei adam. We cannot do anything in Beis Din. But certainly, this is a pretty lousy thing to do. And one is going to be liable b'dinei shamayim. And it's important to emphasize also, when we talk about Grama b'nezikin, I think we've mentioned this in other contexts, but Grama b'nezikin is patur, but it's usur. Right? One is not, and it plugs right into everything we spoke about on day one, about the reasons why it's usur to be mazik somebody else's stuff. They all, or for the most part, or almost all, work for Grama b'nezikin too. So to cause somebody's property to be damaged, maybe there is a technical exemption from tashlumin, and we have to figure out why. But it's not mutter to do. So certainly in Shemayim you're going to pay a price, and certainly you have an avera ben adam l'chavera there. So if you have an avera ben adam l'chavera, you're going to have to ask for mechila. And like we mentioned before, if you ask for mechila, the victim has a right to say, listen, I'm not going to be mochel you if you don't help me out. And that's legitimate. So there is an avenue there for some kind of payment to happen. But meikar adin, strictly speaking, grama is patur. So Rashi and Tosfos and Bava Basra, they understand that the issue is grama, so it's patur midinei adam. The Rush has it a little differently. And according to the Rush, the issue is that there's too much of a doubt, essentially. If you are sicking somebody else's dog on somebody, so you're not the owner of the dog, you're not the trainer of the dog, presumably. So who knows whether you're going to be successful in getting this dog to do anything. The suggestion is that what if you are the owner of the dog? So in a situation where you are the owner of the dog and he follows your commands, then that could be a different story. Now that is going to be something we call garmi. I don't know if we've talked about garmi at all. It's not obvious from the language, the difference between grama and garmi. But it's a whole sugya. God willing, we'll get to it and we will give it its proper attention. But garmi is kind of in between. Essentially, garmi is something which you could just give a very, very basic definition here. It's a big machlokas. We're showing them how to classify it. But just to give the 30-second... summary. So garmi is something which really is also indirect, could seem to be called grama also, but it's somehow further along. You're more liable for this than you are for a normal grama. Why? Different possibilities as to what makes it more. Let's say, for example, maybe the main issue in grama is that you don't really know what's going to happen. So garmi would then be a situation where you have more reason to know what's going to happen. So it's further along the spectrum. So garmi, you're chayev. Now why are you chayev? It's machlokas rishonim. There are at least three possibilities. Could be you're chayev only midrabanan, the Minat Torah, it's a grama, but Chazal said, listen, this is something where there's a greater line of connection, so we want to be mechayev for that. It could be it's a chi of Minat Torah, or it could also be it's a knas. That really you're pater, but again, once there is a greater level of responsibility, in the literal sense, for what's happening, So then Bezdin says, we can't let you keep doing this without any price. So it sounds like in that case, maybe what the Rush is saying is you have Garmi there. You have still essentially an indirect process, but more grounds to hold somebody liable. So that does not fully address or at all address the situation of the Baal HaKelev. So, God willing, we'll start with that tomorrow. Again, tomorrow will probably be early. Jed will tell you what time. All right, I wish everyone a wonderful day. Should be only good things.
Thank you.
No.
See you, God willing, tomorrow.